Okay, and now, Linda Halperin.
Hi. When I joined the movement, per se, my name is Linda Wetmore, and I was naive beyond understanding. I got involved because I had a very religious little... I was a little religious girl with a little cross I had around my neck. When I went away to college in Philadelphia, I had joined the YWCA, the only club that I felt comfortable in on campus, and they were giving scholarships to go on a voter registration drive in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I went down the summers, the spring of 64, and Staunton Lynn and Howard Zinn and Al Lowenstein were there, and Bob Moses dropped in talking about this summer project they were going to have. And it sounded good to me. I was 19, looked 16, felt 10. I signed up, needed parent permission because I wasn't old enough. And I was at the, in the north when Cheney Goodman and Schwerner were killed, went through that whole Bob Moses, listening to him tell us how dangerous it was. And I think my fear started then, and it never stopped. And the summer of 64 for me was a shock and awe summer, a summer of disillusionment. Everything I believed in came crumbling down. And I was in Greenwood, Mississippi, with Stokely Carmichael, who's probably the one person that has affected me more than anybody in my life. My naivete, I'm sure, aggravated the hell out of him. And I, every day I'm like, what the hell is that girl doing down here? But I took a stand, Mark Twain being one of my favorite authors. I didn't know any black authors, black people in history. Like I say, naivete was really a problem. But Mark Twain had a statement that it's better to be silent and thought dumb than to speak up and remove all doubt. So I kind of took that stand that summer and saw a lot, listened a lot, cried a lot. But the one incident and everything everybody said, from going to jail to watching folks get beat up to watching the office bombed, having to duck, taking baths in those round wash tubs that you bob for apples in, all of that. But every day, sweat, hot, and then the fear. And people used to sing, "We are not afraid," is one of the verses of "We Shall Overcome." And I'm thinking, who the hell is kidding who? I was scared shitless the whole summer. But one of the worst nights was the night that this Silas McGee, belonging to a family of McGees, Clarence, Jesse, Jake, these four men, one of whom had come back from the military, I think Clarence, they started boycotting stores in Greenwood. And they had already put a couple out of business. They themselves had been put in jail. This was the night they were released. And we were down at the corner eating chitlins. I'm a now vegetarian. But and everybody was schmoozing. Silas had decided to stay in the car. And while we were, it was pouring rain out, it was dark. And this white car came by with four young White Citizen Council sons of the White Citizens Council, with their rifle, and they shot him in the head. And all we inside, we heard like a pop, and we went running out, opened this side of his door he'd been driving, and he fell into the water. And it was some social worker from New York, white guy, And I think Bob Zellner took off his shirt, told me to get in the car, and I had a blue cotton. We couldn't wear, you know, pants or anything. We had to wear dresses down there. And I got in the back car, and they put his head on my lap. Their shirts were saturated with blood already. And we drove to the hospital. And Bob, who was Southern himself, didn't really think of it, but we went up to the wrong door of the hospital. So we drove up, we ran out to the side door, and now all the cops are there. It took them forever to get to where the incident happened, but they were all crowded at the hospital, arms crossed like this. Now the doctors and the policemen, they're standing there, and they're saying, "This is for colored only. You're at the wrong door." So we got in the car, we drove all the way around the hospital. They themselves just went across. They're standing at the door like this. So we come out to get a stretcher, and they go, "Wait, you can't come in this hospital with bare chests." So I'm the only one who still has a dress on, even though it's covered with blood. So they let me go in and get the stretcher. And the guys carried Silas on the stretcher up to the door, and then I had to take the end because they wouldn't let him in the hospital, and cross the threshold to the door to get him in. And then the nurses, there was one black doctor in the town, and they called him, and he came, and there were some nurses and custodial help at the hospital. And in the meantime, we had these Watts line that you could talk, and Sally Belfridge was at the office talking to me and saying, "Linda, you know, what's going on?" And I said, "Well, we got him to the hospital. He's going to be operated on." And I said, but all I could hear in the background were the cops saying, "Hey, they got that nigga Silas tonight. You know, they got that nigga Silas, man. He was a big one." And then I heard him down, when I went down the hall to call, that I heard him saying, you know, "They got to get him out of here tonight, because if he doesn't die in that hospital, they were going to kill him anyway." So they helicoptered over the Greenwood Hospital, and took him down to the Jackson Hospital. And I remember I was teaching in Oakland, because I became a teacher, and I always felt it was a revolutionary act to be. So I've been teaching in Oakland for 36 years. I retired now, but this getting old, that's why I retired. About 15 years ago, I always kept track of what was going on in Greenwood, and Silas McGee became mayor of Greenwood. So there have been changes, not enough, not fast enough. And I can just say ditto to what everybody else has said about the people you met, many of whom the names have just evaporated. But it is courage. I mean, for me, it's constant courage. And that's where I think I'm always going to be a work in progress, because I still never know quite sure when. You know, when you're in the bathrooms and you hear this racist shit, and you just, do I say something now? Do I let it slide? I don't know. I encourage all the young people to be as constantly courageous as you can.